Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, March the 20th, 2012. Today is the first day of spring. You would never know it by those morning temperatures. Thank goodness we covered some of the sensitive vegetation around the house last night. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We're now in our 10th month here at KVOI, The Voice, and the Voice Network stations KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. We also make it very easy for you to listen to this program anytime, anywhere in the world. Usually about an hour after the show's conclusion, we will have the show posted on three websites for you to listen to: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com, all carrying the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to one. We'll get things rolling with a newsmaker interview with Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley kind of has a half-smile. Yeah, it's not happening today on the market, but you never know. 30 minutes past the hour, Southern Arizona remains in a severe drought, despite the recent rain and snow. And 45 minutes past the hour, Tucson Weekly arts editor Margaret Regan will join us for her bi-monthly arts report. And we encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, email questions at buckmastershow.com, or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. We begin now with the Buckmaster Show and our newsmaker interview with the Tucson Mayor, Jonathan Rothschild. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I was just thinking about your 180-day plan. We are a little bit, I think we're just a bit past now, the midway point of the 180-day plan. How are you doing? Are you on track?
Well, I hope so. Yeah, I'm glad we didn't make it the 100-day plan, because I think that's right about where we're at. And I've got it in front of me, and I'm looking at some things, and real quickly, we have, of course, from day one, hired our small business advocate in the mayor's office, and Maricela Solis helps folks every day kind of getting through the government hurdles, and I think that's helped a lot. I think we're getting a lot of good feedback from that. The land use code is going to be a big project, but we've already cut out, I think, 178 pages of it. We could probably use another 178 cut out. And but more importantly, over the land use code, it's really a question of making it, getting out the contradictions, the ambiguities, and making it something that people can work with. And we had a study session recently on it. We're going to have another one before the 180 days is up. I think we may be looking more at July or August to complete that first part of the project, but we're doing real well there. And permit review checklists and timelines, we're doing well there. We've got our, if you come to the city now with a permit, it 82% of the permits are granted within 20 days, which is good. About 50% of them are slowed down at the city level. About 50% of them are slowed down at the county level, which means our number is closer to 90% on our end. We'd like to get it to 95%, and so we're working on that.
I wanted to mention that you announced the selection of Deborah Chandler as the city's new economic development manager.
Yes, and that's good news. You know, we work with the city works with the other economic development agencies in town, Chamber of Commerce, TRIO, and the like, and the people over at the county. But if there's not a point person within the city to for them to go to, it makes it harder. And so our interim city manager, Richard Miranda, has really put an emphasis on bringing a couple of the people over and having them do economic development, and now having Debbie here, who used to be head of the micro-business loan group. We're really putting together a team that will hopefully help.
How about Richard Miranda? Does it look like he will stay on as the permanent city manager? Or he is, as you said, interim, and he gets very good high marks from what I've been hearing.
Yeah, I think people are pleased with him. I think the people in the city are pleased with him. We have put in place a process to hopefully have the permanent manager selected by May 1st. I'm hoping Mr. Miranda puts in his name. I haven't heard it officially. I'm sure he will. And but I think it's important for some of our recent history and some of our recent processes to go through a process and to see what's out there and to see what is needed in the city manager's position. And I know Mr. Miranda is a very strong candidate for the position, and so we will see what happens. But right now what's important for us is that we get that position filled permanently, because we have openings in our water department, for our head of our water department, our IT department, our transportation department, and we can't, it's hard to fill those positions until those people know who they would be working for. So my goal is to get that done here by May 1 or as close to that as I can.
We had a caller, Jonathan Rothschild, Mr. Mayor, who did not want to go on the air, but this is a pretty good question. What are you looking for, Mr. Mayor, in a city manager?
It is a good question. We've put out a brochure, so it's public, but what we're looking for is someone, first of all, who has a knowledge of the Southwest and Southwestern, I don't want to say just culture, but Southwestern cities, because it is a different breed. And you don't have to be living here now, but to have some of that Western sense. But beyond that, we're looking for someone who's good with finances, who's good with personnel, and who's good with communication. It's the person who manages this city is managing a $1.4 billion budget, and the person needs to have at least familiarity with water policy, transportation policy, construction and planning and development. And so it's an important position here in the overall city, not just the city government, but the city as a whole. And so we're looking for someone who has the knowledge of what Tucson is, but also someone who has really high technical skills.
How is the budget looking, and how's the economy looking right now in the city?
Well, we're cautiously optimistic. Last year, our sales tax revenues were up by about, I believe it was 4.5%, which was the first time it had been up in a number of years, so that was great news. We've had a really strong January and February, partly based on our big events and partly based on the fact that we had great weather for them. The Gym Show this year, which is a big sales tax generator for the city, had its best year in years. The rodeo had its best year in years. And so we're off to a good start. That being said, the financial challenges of municipal governments right now, that kind of economic improvement doesn't take us out of the woods by any means. We have to be very careful with our money and very careful on assuring that what we do gets big impact for small dollars.
Mayor of Tucson is with us, Jonathan Rothschild, another caller, mayor, who did not want to go on the air. That's fine. Our fine producer, Rose, puts up the questions, and I'll ask them of you. San Antonio and the city of Chicago just recently got off coal energy. Are there any similar plans for Tucson to do something similar? I don't know how much coal energy we use in the city of Tucson.
Well,
perhaps you do.
We are reliant on Tucson Electric and Power. Tucson Electric and Power is working hard to implement conservation measures, but the fact of the matter is that probably the biggest electrical generating plant in the state of Arizona is up on the northern reservation, I believe the Hopi Reservation, and it's a coal generating plant. And so the work that we can do at the local level is to work really hard to promote alternative energy sources and to conserve. And at the local level, we're working really hard to promote our solar industry. I'm up right now at the state legislature, not this minute, but this week, trying to get a bill passed that will allow residential consumers to be able to put solar on their houses and pay for it out of their energy savings. And by the way, TEP is for that, but we're running into a little bit of a headwind there. You know, the other thing that we can do in addition to looking for those alternative sources is just be real strong on conservation, because all water uses electricity, and so we continue, and the state of Tucson has a good history, but we continue to promote and try to be an example for water conservation as well.
And the streetcar will be officially launched, what is it, early April, right?
Yeah, I don't have the exact date in front of me. I know that Secretary LaHood is coming in, the Secretary of Transportation. For some reason, I was thinking, and I don't want to give a date out that's wrong, but I was thinking more mid-April.
I think it is mid-April.
Yeah, but he will be here, and we will get it started. You know, there's a lot of people are critical, clearly, we have to be diligent throughout the process. There are going to be some literal bumps in the road because it's a construction project. And what the bigger picture is that where these streetcar projects have gone into place in Little Rock, Arkansas, in Tampa, Florida, and Portland, Oregon. And Portland is a large project, but Little Rock and Tampa are similar to ours. The economic development that has gone on around the streetcar has been incredible. I think, I don't want to get my numbers wrong, but
we will. Yeah,
take a break.
We will take a break, and we will have you on in April, and we'll talk some more about the streetcar. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Mayor Rothschild with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk about more about the economy with Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Kind of pick up on what the mayor was just saying about how the economy is doing. Shelley's next.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
12:22, time for the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with Shelley Fishman. And Shelley, you know I have the Shelley Fishman Dow Jones Industrial Average Smile Index, and if I had to predict today, it's kind of a crooked smile.
Yeah, it's not a great day.
A little bit up, a little bit. Yeah, it's not. I don't think the market is responding to really anything in particular.
No, there's nothing specific going on. I think there's a little bit of disappointment or concern about a slowdown in the Chinese economy. But you know, Bill, we have had this tremendous run up since October. We're up 1,000 points since the 1st of January, and on the Dow. And you know, at some point, the market has to take a breather and calm down. Let some of those gains kind of settle in. Let people fine tune those portfolios. So I'm not worried about this. You know, every time we have a down day, it seems like it starts off like a down day and winds up flat.
Yeah.
And you know, that shows a great deal of resilience in the equity markets. We've had some disappointing results in bonds. The bond market has been down for I think 10 of the last 15 days. Not massively down, but again, some consolidation. A couple of funds. Some of the larger mutual funds have cut dividends on some fixed income funds slightly, not a lot, but just a tiny bit, and that spooks people.
Shelley Fishman is with us with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley, let's pick up now on, because you are with me here in studio listening to our interview at the top of the program with Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. It sounds like his 180-day plan, which is really to kind of bottom line, it streamlined business, make business more efficient. I think he was saying about 80% of the permitting process, a little over 80%, was getting done in a several week period, which is encouraging.
Well, what the mayor is trying to do is reverse the perception of Tucson as a difficult or uncomfortable place for businesses to move, to do business, to grow their businesses. And that's quite a challenge. There is a tremendous lack of specificity among business leaders about what it is about Tucson that makes it difficult to do business. When you question them specifically, you get kind of nondescript answers. And that has plagued Mayor Rothschild a little bit by appointing Maricela Solis. He's really beginning to put some meat on the skeleton of what is it that we need to do specifically. Now, everybody knows about the sign code. Everybody knows about, you know, getting permitting done more quickly. But there are other things. How can the city be perceived to be a good place to do business in a state that, by the way, you know, sends very mixed signals to the rest of the country? So we've got those headwinds coming from, you know, northern Arizona, if you will.
And perception, Shelley, are hard to break. As you know, there is the perception that Moran, city, town of Marana, the town of Oro Valley, are more business-friendly than the city of Tucson.
Well, they've been working on it a little bit longer, I think, than we have, and I'm very optimistic. Now, remember, most city governments are very dependent upon sales tax revenues. And so when sales tax revenues begin to improve, you know, then the city can do more and more. And so that's very important. The mayor was talking a little bit about the fact that revenues are seeming to improve. And there was a statistic, and I'm kind of pulling this off the top of my head. I should never do this, but I think that in December, for the first month in like 3 years, we began to see individuals and families actually increasing their debt load for the first time since this crisis began. You know, up to now, it has been deleveraging. Families have been getting rid of debt. But we're beginning to see people beginning to use their credit cards again, beginning to use their sources of credit to satisfy the pent-up demand. You know, I heard, I want to say it was last week. How much time do we have? there was a great story on NPR. They were interviewing in Michigan, interviewing small business owners and small business people in Michigan, talking about hiring and whether or not they had seen and were perceiving and feeling palpable turnaround in the economy. The optimism, the degree of anecdotal positiveness that the economy really was turning around, you couldn't help but come away from that interview feeling, my gosh, it really is working. And that's the impression I'm getting here in the city. And by the way, you know, if you talk to any of the state legislators, they're also telling you that revenues are up on a state level as well.
Yeah, and so that is the first time, you were saying December, that would be the first time in at least 3 years,
right,
then, that people are starting to perhaps feel a little bit more comfortable about taking on some debt loads.
Right. Yeah. And you know, we need to do that. We need to not do it as badly as we've done it in the past. And our homes are no longer credit cards for us and no longer ATMs. So it's got to come from, unfortunately, very often high interest debt. But so long as people do it responsibly, it really does show an optimism. And again, there's this pent-up demand in the automobile industry for consumer goods, for also for durable goods. That is going to help our manufacturing center sector. And I really do think we're going to see an accelerating path out of this very deep recession.
Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman is with us with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. He is the gentleman that I always recommend when people are looking to invest their money. And what do you say to those people when you have those first sessions with them? What's the bottom line?
Well, the bottom line is to listen to the client and find out exactly what it is that client hopes and fears about investing.
Comfort levels.
Comfort levels, and of course, the interval, the amount of time between the time of investment and when they might need that money. But it is so important as people kind of inch back into investing that you make sure that they do it in a way that they can sleep at night, that keeps them comfortable and within their comfort level. So I listen a lot. I ask questions and then shut up.
If you would like to talk with Shelley Fishman, the best way to do it?
795-7950, or just hit my website at shelleyfishman.com, and I respond very quickly.
There's also a link at buckmastershow.com, so you can find Shelley. Shelley, thanks. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
The White House is dismissing the budget plan rolled out today by House Republicans. The GOP blueprint would cut the deficit more significantly than the president's budget plan. It would also repeal Obamacare and overhaul the tax system. Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul haven't done much campaigning in Illinois ahead of today's primary, but Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum have, and Romney is hoping to extend his delegate lead over Santorum as the results come in later today. Strong earthquake has shaken south central Mexico, causing buildings to sway in Mexico City, sending frightened workers and residents onto the streets. There are no reports of serious injuries or damage. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 55 points. The NASDAQ is off 3. More details at srnnews.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and we are delighted that you are with us on this Tuesday. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, it was great to have that rain over the weekend. Last I checked, we had about a third of an inch officially out at the Tucson International Airport. Some areas around town got a little more, some a little less, which is pretty typical for the Tucson area. Can be spotty in one place and pretty good in another. It did little, however, to relieve the serious drought that we are experiencing in Arizona and New Mexico. Joining us in studio is Zach Guido, Associate Physical Scientist for the Climate Assessment for the Southwest, which is based at the University of Arizona's Institute for the Environment. Zach, good to see you again.
Thanks. Happy to be back.
It's good to have you here on the first day of spring, and it's also good to have you on a day after a rain, because usually on those days after the rain, when you start talking about drought, people say, oh, what are you talking about? There's no drought. The drought's over. We got a nice rain.
Yeah, I think short-term memory pervades here, and it's drought is slow to come on, and it's slow to leave, so we still have it.
Give us some overall history of where we are in this prolonged drought.
Well, I think to talk about the drought, we have to go back to last winter when we had exceptionally dry conditions. And that really set the stage for drought expansion that reached exceptional levels. And exceptional is defined as a drought that occurs on average once in every 50 years. So pretty big event. It really set the stage for widespread and historically large fires. We had more than 1 million acres burned in Arizona and New Mexico, both records. Really put a lot of pressure on the monsoon season to deliver copious rains, and it did in some places and it didn't in others. And so we sort of inherited drought from last winter. And that drought was the sort of climate background to that was a La Nina event, which is colder sea surface temperatures in a tropical Pacific Ocean. And what the La Nina tends to do is it's pushed the storm tracks further north. So the westerly winds, which ferry storms into the region, are few and far between during a La Nina. And we had a second La Nina event this winter. And so we have, again, experienced dry conditions. We had a rather wet December. December so far has really saved us, I think, from having more severe drought conditions.
But that's probably, Zach, sorry to interrupt you, but it's probably why we see so many weeds growing around town. And we've had some good wildflowers because we did get a pretty good, the first part of December anyway, was really moist, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had about four or five storms move through the region. And they basically shut off a couple days before Christmas. And then there was this prolonged dry period until just about recent.
Yeah, January and February, very dry.
Very dry. Yeah, we had, since the end of December up until even including this last precipitation event, less than about 50% of average precipitation here in the Tucson area and many parts of Arizona.
This drought, it seems like it's been going on forever. When do you mark the – is there a certain year that you're saying that we went into drought?
Well, I think.
Are you saying the late 90s? I mean, I've heard as people say that this thing's been going on for a decade or more.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the precipitation data over the last decade, we're below average. But when the drought began and when it ends is kind of an arbitrary definition. It's difficult to say, but we've certainly over the last two winters experienced below average conditions for sure.
You have a map in front of you, and it has a big – it's kind of like you look at the – if you think of the state of Arizona and then you think of a big kind of bullseye, a red – big red circle in the middle, that looks bad. That looks bad for Arizona.
Yeah, that's an extreme drought, and this is a six-tier system that the U.S. Drought Monitor uses, and it's a national effort. A bunch of drought experts and climate experts and other kinds of stakeholders get together and figure out where the drought is bad, and they color code these maps. And an extreme drought is considered, you know, a drought that happens once in every 20 years. So it is a extreme event.
The amount of snowpack, I know that northern Arizona had a very nice snow out of this last storm, but we usually look to what is known as the upper Colorado River Basin that's very important to us here. And how is that doing?
Well,
And not to downgrade that we do need snowpack here in Arizona too.
Well, that's where most of the water comes from in the Colorado River is the upper Colorado Basin. And that, while last year it was a La Nina event, last year the upper Colorado River Basin had copious snows and it really produced a lot of stream flow and it filled up our reservoirs. This year it's sort of been the opposite. They're running, most basins up there are running below 80% of average, some below 70. So it's been drier than average up in the Colorado River.
Our producer, Rosemary Brandt, just pulled up an interesting map. And it's not just – there was a huge spot in California, central California, that is in, Zach, extreme drought as of February 2012. So it looks like Arizona and California really in bad shape with water.
Uh-huh. And that is a reflection as well as the position of the storm track. And in La Nina events, that storm track tends to loop further north through the Pacific Northwest. The Pacific Northwest becomes wetter, and the storms really miss the southern parts of the U.S., the Southwest in particular, and parts of Southern California.
How do you compile your information with your La Nina drought tracker? Do you have people report in to you from different areas around Arizona and New Mexico? How do you compile this information?
Well, I go to a bunch of credible websites, for one. That's where I start. And there's a lot of information out there. And it's a lot of times you have to sort of decipher it because it's written in science speak. And then I make a lot of phone calls to National Weather Service meteorologists, to University of Arizona or Arizona State climatologists, agricultural extension agents who have their boots on the ground, who know the impact. So I'm sort of bringing together a bunch of information from different sources.
12:41 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. A question for Zach from David. David, you're with Zach Guido. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, it's more of a comment than a question.
Go ahead.
Basically, the situation is a lot more serious than people believe, because I have read two books, and they're pretty frightening. One is called Bird on Fire by Andrew Ross. It's about Phoenix and about the unsustainability of its growth. And the other one is A Great Arrogance by William D. Bies, and it goes over the tree ring research that they've done at the University of Arizona. And they have determined in the past that the Southwest is prone to these mega droughts that last as long as 100 years, and they're very intense. And the Colorado River and all the rivers in there are going to a steep decline, and ancient civilizations like Tohokam and Anastasi, they perished because they just couldn't hang on. And a lot of the data indicates that we could be going into one of these mega droughts that could be even worse due to the climate change, the global warming. And Arizona, they base the population projections that we're going to grow to 10, 15 million people with a Tucson, Phoenix, SunCorp, and megapolis. What's going to happen is Colorado River, if we go into a mega drought, the Colorado River is going to go into a steep decline.
Okay, David, thank you very much. You bring up a very good point. There are the Tree Ring Lab at the University of Arizona, Zach, has some incredible records of some really big-time mega droughts that go back, I think it's the 12th or 13th century, something like that. But there have been others.
There have been others, and it's a great point to bring up, because those tree ring records really put the current situation. We only have data from about 100 years. And so if we can extend our observations back 1,000, 1,500 years, it really puts into perspective where we are. And we have seen in the past that droughts have occurred for decades, 50, 60 years.
Lauren is with us next on the Buckmaster Show. Lauren has a drought question for Zach Guido. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for this topic. This is a wonderful issue because we do live in a climate that predicates our entire existence upon groundwater. And was it true that Tucson at one point, perhaps compared to Las Vegas, that we were the largest community in the country that was solely dependent on groundwater?
Zach, I think that is true. You can reinforce it whether or not you have the data in front of you. You probably don't.
I don't have that
handy. But I think that is true.
Yeah.
That's what I recall anyway, before we were
right.
using Colorado River water.
Right.
So, Lauren, we don't have that as a definite, but I think we were one of the largest cities, certainly in the United States, using groundwater exclusively. So the outlook for the monsoon, too early to tell, Zach?
It is too early to tell, and the outlooks for the monsoon are never very good to begin with. What we can say with some definitiveness is that April will probably be below average in terms of precipitation, but we can also say for temperature that the summer will likely be warmer than average. And that's because what we've seen in the last 20, 30, 40 years is a warming trend in the summertime.
Your service is wonderful from the Climate Assessment for the Southwest, Zach Guido. Where can folks get a hold of this service that you publish?
They can go to our website. It's www.climas. I'll spell that out. It's climas.arizona.edu.
Okay, thank you very much.
Great.
And we will have you back as we get closer to the monsoon season, and hopefully we will have some good information. And I think we should give out that one more time about your website there.
It's www.climas.arizona.edu.
Okay, Zach, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have a great afternoon.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects,
including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, the bi-monthly arts report with Margaret Regan, the arts editor for the Tucson Weekly, is brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is in the Interior Design Center at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And we welcome now to the Buckmaster Show for her Every Other Tuesday report, Margaret Regan. Margaret, how are you?
I'm good today, Bill. It's a gorgeous day outside.
Oh, it's lovely. The rains really freshen things up, and the cool air. Very nice day. You had a lot of fun at the book festival, I guess.
Oh,
big crowd.
I had a great time at the book festival. 3 panels, all very well attended. So it was quite good, and no knockdown, drag-out fights at the cartel panel I was on. Civil discourse all the way around.
I know you love dance, so this piece that's coming up in the weekly that will be available on Thursday and online Wednesday evening in the weekly is something very dear to your heart.
Yeah, that's right. We have the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater coming to town Friday night at Centennial Hall. And what's really interesting about this appearance is that there is a brand new artistic director. If you followed this company at all, they've been around since 1958, and this is only the 3rd artistic director, which is really rare. You know, Alvin Ailey himself ran the thing until his death in 89. Then Judith Jamison stepped in. She was a former dancer with him. And now we have a new guy, Robert Battle, who's a 39-year-old, taking over, you know, the helm of this very revered dance company. So it should be quite interesting to see if and how it changes what we see on stage.
And that will be at Centennial Hall at 8 o'clock on Friday evening. Should be a lot of fun there. In the visual arts, Terry Etherton of the Etherton Gallery has put together, looks like a very impressive show. The launch for that will be Saturday night, March 24th.
That's right, a nice opening Saturday night to go to. The show is called This Land, This Sea, and it actually has 3 of my favorite Tucson artists in it, so I'm excited about it. Well, Joe Forcan doesn't live here anymore, but he used to. He used to do covers for the Weekly. Now he's a professor of art in California. He went to Ireland in the summer of 2010 and made all these paintings of the Irish landscape, sort of semi-abstracted, semi-realistic. He's a wonderful painter, so can't wait to see those. Lisa M. Robinson, a great photographer in Tucson, did all photos of the ocean. We've seen a couple of those already at the TMA Biennial, and that was great. And then our own Nancy Tokar Miller, another wonderful painter in Tucson, doing paintings, a few of Hawaii, I think, and then some of the Maya jungles. So that should be really great.
And the painter's name, the first painter, it's Joe. And
Joe Forcan, F-O-R-K-A-N. Evidently, that's an Irish name, and he went to Ireland to try to find his roots in some Irish village.
Hey, and congratulations. Speaking of St. Patrick's Day, that was a nice cover story had in the Weekly,
yeah.
A little bit of Irish Tucson history there.
Yeah, it's
very
kind
enjoyable.
Of a series I do. I call it the Arizona Irish Project, and every year I try to find some intersection of Irish and Arizona history. So far, I've got it going for about 12 years. So.
Well, I appreciate it being of Irish-American extraction.
That's extraction. Right, and we're cousins.
We are cousins with the name Regan. That was my mother's maiden name. So there's got to be some kin there, as they say. Arizona Friends of Chamber Music, that continues, that very popular series.
Yeah, excellent. You know, they're coming off their wonderful festival in the first week of March, and now they're continuing in with their regular Wednesday evening concerts that come once a month. This one sounds fun. It's the Mandolring String Quartet, which is, you know, your usual four stringed instruments being played, along with a woman, Kartarzyna Micah, on the marimba, of all things.
Wow.
And on the program are two concertos for marimba and strings. Now, I never heard of this before. Not that I'm that knowledgeable about music or classical music, but marimba and classical music mixed together sounds really interesting.
Yeah, and as I, marimba has a lot of its origins, I believe, in Central America. So you just don't usually think of it in the classical context. So that's very interesting. How about theater? What do we have going?
Well, at Beowulf Valley is getting a good review in the weekly this week called The Radium Girls. I haven't seen it, but our reviewer, Laura Owen, said it's quite interesting. It's a kind of a historical story. You know, back in the 20s, they had these watch factories that mostly employed young women, and they would paint the luminous numbers on the dial. They were using radium paint because that glowed in the dark. And the technique was they would, you know, take their brush out and paint a number and then lick it with their tongue to, you know, straighten the point on
horrible
the brush. Radium. And these young women died. So this is a play about that historical event in the 20s. You know, there was all this enthusiasm for science, and then, you know, it was kind of an epical thing because then we learned about the downside of science and the need to protect workers. So Laura Owen said it's a very solid production of a very interesting story, and that's at Beowulf Alley Theater right downtown.
Margaret Regan is with us in the bi-monthly arts report presented by Moas Gallery and Fine Framing. There's also the Old Pueblo Playwrights. They've got their 21st annual New Play Festival.
Yeah, this is a great organization. And as you know, we have lots of writers living here in Tucson. And this organization promotes the work of local and, you know, otherwise Arizona playwrights. And this thing is going to be 4 days long, Thursday through Sunday. There will be eight different plays on the stage at the Cabaret Theater at the Temple of Music and Art. Now, they're not fully produced. The actors will be on stage with a script in their hands. That's called a workshopped reading. But it gives you a good idea of the play. You know, four of the plays are full-length plays and four are one-acts. If you go Sunday afternoon, you get to see four one-act plays by four different authors. And then you, if you go, you can participate in it because they want feedback from the audience. So in a way, if you go, you can help shape the creative process and put your two cents in on what ought to happen in these plays.
I think we could call it a play fest.
I think we could.
Thursday through Sunday, that there'll be eight plays, and as you say, that will be at the Temple of Music and Art Cabaret Theater, and audience participation is very much encouraged.
Right.
One more item on the visual arts scene, Davis Dominguez Gallery.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, they have an opening Saturday night, too. I should have mentioned it in tandem with Etherton. At the same time, you could go to two openings downtown Saturday night, if you like. And Davis Dominguez is over in that neighborhood, 6th and 6th. And they also are doing a show with some of the artists that I really admire. Now, one of them is Bruce McGrew, who you may have known, the late Bruce McGrew. He died in 99, but he was a well-regarded professor at the U of A and a painter that came out of the Rancho Linda Vista art collective. And his family is still finding paintings, you know, oil paintings and watercolors to show. He was a really, really gifted watercolorist, especially. I really love his landscapes done in watercolor. He used to go to Scotland and to Mexico, and they're just gorgeous. So it's always fun to see, even though he's been dead these dozen years, you know, what art we can still see from Bruce McGrew.
Still turning up some of his treasures. Davis Dominguez Gallery, that will also get underway on Saturday night. Also the Etherton Gallery's event on Saturday night and the dance event, 8 o'clock at Centennial Hall for the Alley American Dance Theater. That's going to be a great show as well, isn't it?
And that'll be Friday night. You know, I talked to the new artistic director, and he said they do have a commitment, of course, to still presenting Alvin Ailey's works, and there will be revelations, which pretty much the Alvin Ailey Company does in every single performance, because it is an amazing piece based on what Alvin Ailey called his blood memories of growing up in Texas during the Depression as an African-American kid. The music is just stupendous. It's all gospel music, and it's, you know, it's a long piece, probably 20 minutes, half an hour.
Great. So should be fun.
Yeah.
Margaret, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Bill, for having me.
Okay, Margaret Regan with the bi-monthly arts report presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And the Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Michael C. Flowers, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway. If you need a CPA, and who doesn't, it's tax season, check out Michael C. Flowers. That'll do it today for the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.